Barney actually stops the car, looks over this mountain to see the light come towards them. Betty and Barney get very, very frightened. What is this thing in the sky? Why is it following us? The thing actually is over their car. Then when they think they've escaped it, they're on this lonely road, Exeter, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. This object actually stops in the road in front of them. They see these small creatures. And Betty called her sister the next morning after the event to tell her exactly what happened. Where their memories stop is after Barney goes to get his gun, because he's carrying a gun in the car. And he goes to get his gun, and these creatures just yank him out of the car. Betty flees. She's trying to run for the woods. The creatures grab her, and they grab her, and they drag her to a clearing. And that's where their memories stop, and their memories pick up again while they're driving right up to their driveway where they live, and they realize when they see the clocks that they can't account for a number of hours, and that's where their own personal investigation begins into the story. And the reason I chose this was, A, it's an important piece of American history. B, it's a case that most people casually don't understand. They think, oh, they were trying to hide this thing. No, they went to Pease Air Force Base. They reported it to the Air Force. There was a whole range of activities that Betty and Barney did to try and investigate their own what happened to them. And then they didn't just go running to a regression therapist. They actually, Barney had physical reactions. Obviously, he had, as now we all know, he had these bumps coming up, these warts around his genital area. He was very sensitive about that. Something was wrong with him physically. And Betty Hill had these strange stains within 24 hours on her dress, where the dress she was wearing that night. So there's physical trace evidence of what happened, and there's medical records of Barney. So they go to doctors. They try to figure out what's wrong. Barney is having post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, now we know what that was. And he is having physiological reactions to what happened to him that he can't remember. And it's very invasive, and it has to do literally with what we would call it now, it'd be sex abuse. I mean, he was abused aboard that spacecraft. Finally, his medical doctor, his family doctor says, you know what, there's nothing wrong with you, Barney. Let me recommend you to a psychiatrist. They recommend him to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist hears the story of the missing time and realizes there's only one person in this country, this very famous psychiatrist, Dr. Benjamin Simon, who was well known from World War II because he was the doctor that pilots and people who had PTSD events, triggering events, went to confront the trauma. And that's where the story begins.
And what he told me, Bill, was, George, I can't tell you whether their story is true or not. But I can tell you, whatever they think they saw in their minds. They believe this story. And that was a dramatic statement all by itself, Bill.
Yes. And I mean, you're the one that taught, and this was years ago when you told me this.
Yep.
And what's so fascinating is when you go back through the records, again, Benjamin Simon had no mechanism in his practice. And if you look at the basic book for psychiatrists and psychologists today on the Diagnostic Symptoms Manual, how to look for various symptoms. And it's funny because it's gone through, I think, five incarnations. And now the latest one are all the codes for billing, right? So, I mean, it's how to bill for post-traumatic stress disorder, for obsessive compulsion disorder, right? There's nothing on alien abduction. Nothing. Not a thing. So how could Benjamin Simon treat Betty and Barney Hill for alien abduction, and there's no such thing as alien abduction in all the medical texts that he's going to refer to? It's an unknown syndrome. So he begins to look, so he doesn't believe that there are such things as aliens, but he has these two patients that he's working with who fundamentally believe this is what happens. And look at how he did this. He interviews them and regresses them separately so that there's no cross-contamination between their stories. That's first of all. In other words, he does what police do. They split the witnesses up to get their respective stories. Then them not to remember what they're telling him, so the events of their daily life don't intrude on, let's call it for argument's sake, the purity of their respective stories. They remain uncontaminated by their own judgment of their stories. And he's trying to work with them on that.
Tell us about, and we'll move on to a different case in a second, Bill, but tell us about Betty's description of the star cluster where the apparent ETs told her they came from, which was then highlighted in a star map later on.
Yes. Now, this is where it gets fascinating, because for all the people that say, and a lot of people have said, oh, come on, Betty was having dreams. Barney was having dreams. The two of them influenced each other. They were tired on the road. They had a hallucination. And remember, the big event that happened right about the same time of the abduction was the premiere of Outer Limits. And Outer Limits had this creature, this big creature. And in fact, for the Star Trek book that I wrote with Alan Sims and Mike Westmore years and years ago, I interviewed the person who created that alien head for Outer Limits. His name is Wa-Ming Chang, and he was the original props designer for Star Trek, the original series. Mm-hmm. And he told us how he invented the big-headed alien. It's the same one he used for Baylock and in a later Star Trek series, Gorn the Reptile. And so he was telling us about this. And you put the two and two together, yeah, Barney Hill saw the Outer Limits thing, but that's not what happened, because Barney didn't see the Outer Limits, and he and Betty never discussed the dreams he was having. And then there's this two pieces of stunning evidence that nobody can explain. One is that under hypnosis, Betty Hill said that this kind of the chief, you know, like the supervisor, I don't know what you would call him, but like the medical director, because they were doing medical tests on Betty.
Right.
This medical director, she actually asked, she was very sentient, she was very sapient aboard this craft. She wasn't some passive victim. She actually asked, where are you from? And so apparently they were very forthcoming in their explanation, and they showed her a map of a twin star, which we now know is Eta Reticuli, but it was this twin star, and they showed her the planet in the system of that twin star, which is, what, only 8 light years away. So it's like, you know, it's going from Amsterdam Avenue at the top of Central Park, Cathedral Parkway in New York City, down to Little Italy. I mean, that's literally what it is. And that's how close it is. And so Betty Hill, under hypnosis, drew the map from memory that this supervising entity aboard the craft showed her. Well, of course, at the time she drew the map, nobody knew that existed. And they said, well, it's, you know, no twin stars, it couldn't be, this is a fake, this shows the whole thing is a fake, it's a hallucination, et cetera, et cetera. Well, years later, the Gliese catalog, the exact star system was discovered. And then shortly after that, the exoplanets in that star system were discovered, and they were discovered in exactly the same places. So the Gliese star chart and the location of the planet matched the map that Betty Hill drew from memory that the person on board that spacecraft showed her.